Behold, the dreamer cometh. You know, that's actually a Bible verse, and it's talking about a guy by the name of Joseph. And Joseph, of course, was a picture of Jesus. But do you also know that he was a prophetic dreamer? And not only was he a prophetic dreamer, but he's a prototype for one. Hello, friends. I'm Troy Brewer. We're right here at the counter. And guys, we're going to be talking about dreams. We're going to be talking about warfare and dreams, how dreams are actually hackable, and how dreams are actually livable.
The world has gone crazy, y'all. Every day, the headlines scream louder. The truth gets twisted, and the darkness grows bolder. But I've got good news for you. We're not running from the darkness. We're confronting it. Buckle up, my friends, and for the past 6 months, my team has been tirelessly working to bring you something brand new. It's a show that exposes deception. It reveals kingdom truth. A show that flips the narrative of the world completely upside down. Nothing off the table. No topics that are too wild, too dark, or too controversial. Because truth doesn't hide, and light does not back down. That's exactly what you're going to see this season on The Counter. So lean in, open up your heart, because this isn't just about entertainment. It's about a great prophetic movement. Alrighty then, here we go. Let's roll it.
Welcome to The Counter, where we decode the lies of modern day culture
using biblical truths, divine revelation,
and prophetic insights.
Pull up a seat to this prophetic powerhouse where we expose the enemy's playbook.
We will counter fear.
We will counter deception.
We will counter woke ideology.
We will counter legalism.
We will counter the occult.
This
is The Counter.
Joining me is my very good friend, Mr. Alan DiDio.
Your best friend.
Your very best friend
hey.
In the whole world. Yes, and do you have any idea
wow.
that guy is
down
there?
I
got jealous over here.
It's like Darren Stott.
He told me that I was his best.
Well, I'd say that. Though.
That was an ouch. Yeah.
You tell all the pastors.
Joseph Z is here with me today.
Man, it's a privilege to be with you, Troy.
And our fifth will today is Mr. Tony Merkel.
Hey.
You know what? Fifth wheel, that's kind of appropriate for you, isn't it?
Yeah, former trucker.
Yeah, and you're a big-time trucker guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was before you started the confessionals.
Yes, yeah.
Guys, wow. Let's talk about dreams.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start this thing off because I'm a dreamer,
yeah.
And I've had dreams. And, like, I think my two favorite dreams I've ever had, well, first of all, my first prophetic encounter I ever had was I was 12 years old, and I had this crazy dream. Mm. And it was actually an encounter with the Lord, and I'll tell you about it later if we have time. And then later on, it's been like a huge, significant part of my life. And people have dreams. I get cards and letters and emails and all kinds of stuff, people all over the world. Troy, I dreamed this dream, I dreamed that dream, I dreamed this dream, right? Well, sometimes there's those kinds of prophetic dreams that have lots of type and symbols and all those kinds of things. But sometimes there is like a move of God in a dream. And I had this wild dream. And I dreamed, I saw myself sleeping in my bed in the position I was actually sleeping in. And it was like, okay, I'm having this, I'm asleep, I'm having a dream. And all of a sudden I can see me there. And then I look through my wall towards the south and I can see past the curvature of the earth, boom, there's a ball of light coming. And it's coming up to the top of the curvature of the earth. It's coming up, it's coming up, it's coming up. And I'm like, oh man, somebody's coming to my house. I've got to go greet this person. So I was like, okay. And so I'm like, well, I can't just run out there in my SpongeBob's, you know. So I put on a shirt and I put on a pair of shorts. And then I go to the front door and I can still see where they're at. They're supernaturally traveling towards me. I open up the front door. I get out there and then, boom, this woman comes into real time. She comes walking out of the light and she comes walking up to me. Now, there's two things about her that are so supernaturally awesome. Number one, she was supernaturally beautiful. Like, as soon as I saw her, I just wanted to start crying because I knew how loved of the Lord she was. Mm. She was so precious to Jesus. And I was like, oh, wow. And the second one, which doesn't go with this, she was supernaturally skinny. Mm. She was starving. And both of them, you know, if she would have been a natural person, she would have just died because she was starving to death. Mm. But she was also so beautiful at the same time. And she walked up to me and she was smiling. She's walking in real time and she stands in front of me and she says, hello, Troy. And I said, hi. And I told her, I said, I saw you coming. She said, yeah, I know. And she said, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, no, ma'am, I don't. And she said, I am Nicaragua. Come and feed me.
Wow.
And then, boom, the dream was over.
Wow.
And I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, it didn't, you know, in this setting, it's like, wow, that's obviously a cool dream. That's obviously prophetic. But it didn't seem, it didn't feel like it. It didn't seem like it. And so I started to roll back over to sleep, started to go to sleep. And I went, well, no, 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 I got to get up and I got to write that down. I cannot forget this dream. So I did that. I stewarded it correctly. And then I even told the congregation the next morning, because it was Sunday morning, I told everybody open door, hey, I had this dream and we're going to do something. We're going to feed the people in Nicaragua. To make a long story short, we have a food bank there and we've had it for 7 years. We feed 100,000 people a month.
Wow.
God Almighty supernaturally made all of that happen, and it all started with a dream. Wow. All right, guys. So what do you got? Are you guys dreamers?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would say everybody's a dreamer. Sometimes people say to us, you know, Pastor Darren, I don't dream. And I'd say, well, do you sleep? And they say, yeah, I sleep. Well, how much do you sleep? Well, I get, you know, 7 hours average sleep. Well, if you're getting 7 hours sleep, they're saying that you're probably having somewhere between 4 to 5 dreams per night. So the question isn't, are you dreaming? The question is, are you remembering your dreams? So we were created in the image and likeness of a dreamer. And I think it's important that everybody recognizes that the dream realm is a realm that everybody is experiencing, but not a lot of people are stewarding.
Ah, that's it. That's really good. Okay, you're right. So obviously, God Almighty is not limited as to how he can speak to us, but it is documented that he will speak to us through dreams.
Amen.
The whole New Testament story from the birth of Jesus all the way through the rest of the Bible is a story of what happens when people hear God speak in dreaming, and then they go do what God Almighty tells them to do.
Amen.
So you have to steward those things.
Yeah, dreams are a very powerful and potent force. You know, it's an interesting part of the way God made us, because I believe dreams, speaking in tongues, day visions, night visions, all those things kind of flow into the same place. And they come from sort of the same mechanism of the Holy Spirit. When you start to dream and God's really speaking something to you, it'll mark you, you know, and there's a big difference. I like to say this too. People have nightmares and they think God's talking to them. That is not always the case. As a matter of fact, if you're having a nightmare, you need to get up. And if you know Jesus, you need to bind that thing. Mm. Don't agree with evil when you see it. Mm. Now, there are times God will say, hey, don't do this, don't do that, like the Macedonian cry. So there was a man from Macedonia, like the story you shared, said, hey, come over here and help us. So God will lead and guide with those things. But I've had a lot of dreams where I'll dream something and then I walk into the room the next day and it's playing out exactly how I saw it in my dream.
Yep.
You'll see the colors of the room, the person, you come in. Yep. And then there's like a form of deja vu that can go with it. And you talk about this, Troy, where sometimes you'll almost like be in a moment and whether it's from a dream or a word of the Lord, you suddenly remember a memory that comes to you. And dreams, I find, are the most common way I've experienced that, where it's like unlocking something familiar where you walk into a place. Now, I need to make a note about deja vu real quick. On one side of deja vu, it's an absolute natural phenomenon. It's synaptic stuff firing. Your mind's trying to make up the difference with the gaps that are in there. So it gives us euphoria as your brain's trying to search out what's going on. And it makes you feel like, I've been here before. I've seen this. That's natural. That's psychological. The other side of dreams is when God Almighty speaks to you and you see it and then you start to interpret it. And I think the biggest thing people need to understand is how to interpret dreams. And the best one to do it is the one who had the dream.
Come on.
That's what I think, Troy.
All right, Pastor Allen, you know biblically all the way through the Word of God, man, that there's dreams. Old Testament, New Testament, talk to us about that.
Dreams are the most underrated form of communication from the divine. Mm. Especially when people aren't listening, when they're awake, God will speak to them while they're asleep. Mm. Here's what it says in Job chapter 33. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not.
There it is.
In a dream, in a vision of the night, then he opens the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. And I think one of the keys is that we were created to operate with God in a place of rest. And we are so busy, we're so anxious, and we're so active. Sometimes when we're asleep, we're at the highest point of our faith because we're in complete rest.
So good.
And that's when God can speak to us. God speaks to us from a place of faith, from a place of rest. And that's where dreams come in. And we are in the last days, my brother. He said he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And this is for you, Pastor Troy. Your old men will dream dreams.
Yes, sir. So whenever Martin Luther King stood up on the Lincoln Memorial, up on those stamps, he said this, I have a dream. That was a prophetic gate being opened. Mm. It was a last day's gate. Mm. He didn't say, you know, I have a vision. He didn't say, I have a prophecy. He said, I have a dream. And that word went out in the midst of the great civil rights movement. And the guy's last name was King. And he was standing up on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, the 16th president, who laid down his life. So I'm like, whoa, that is a last day's utterance.
This is something that changed my life that you said, and you need to say this. When something happens, ask yourself, if that was a dream, what would it mean?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
So if you're somebody that's going to be able to, if you're going to be able to hear God speak through everything going on around you, you look at it just like the way that you actually look at your dreams. Okay, if you wrote it out and go, okay, there was a blue car and on the license plate there was this and that and that, and then this guy walked up and he did that, and dude, a bird did this or whatever. If you live your entire life just looking at every scenario and say, what is God speaking through this? Knowing that God speaks through everything around us. Romans 1:20, the invisible things of Him, from the creation of the world, even His eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. You understand the invisible things of God through being able to see what's going on around you, so there's no excuse not to hear God speak. And it literally means, if that was a dream, what would it mean?
That's powerful. So real dreams are like a preparatory school
to
learn how to interpret real life.
Right. If you'll search out your dream life, and if you'll search it out through the Word of God, you'll know when God Almighty is speaking through anything going on around you. You'll know that. Now, we know that there's, and we're going to talk about the God side of this. We're going to talk about the dark side of this. But Tony Merkel,
yes.
What kind of experience do you have with dreams, man?
So I'm somebody who doesn't typically remember my dreams a whole lot. But when I do, it's usually God trying to speak to me. And I have been attacked in dreams as well, which I'm sure we can get to at some point. But
well, we are.
I will tell you, the most profound dream I've had was when I was in my early 20s. My wife and I had just gotten married, and I went down the stairs in my church. And we went to a small church in Pennsylvania. I grew up in that church. And I walk into the downstairs basement, and there's like a reception hall. And to the left, there's an office, and this is actually how it's laid out. I'm seeing this office, and I look to my right, and my dad is standing in the middle of the reception area, just standing there staring. And I said, Dad, what's up? And he just wouldn't acknowledge my existence. He just kept on staring. And I look to my left again, where the office was, and the office grew dark, and this thick black cloud came out of the office. And I look at my dad, and he's just staring like a zombie. And so this cloud comes over to me, and these like demonic hands come out of the cloud, and they knock me down. They start dragging me into this office, and I'm being dragged across the floor, screaming for my dad to help me. And he won't even acknowledge I'm there. He's just standing there staring. And for years, I thought that was the most demonic dream I've ever had. What did it mean? And it wasn't until probably about 15 years later, maybe not that long, but I had gotten my life back on track with the Lord. I had went through seasons, and the Lord revealed to me that dream that I had been holding on to for so many years was not a dream that was sent from Satan or anything. It was a dream that He was trying to get my attention to say, if you keep going down this route of using your parents as spiritual crutches, this is what's ultimately going to happen to you.
That's powerful.
And
it is.
And it just,
great.
It was like, it was such a revelatory experience where I had this dream years before, and the Holy Spirit revealed the meaning of that dream to me years later. And when the timing was right, I wasn't ready to receive that message then, but it did scare me at the time, that's for sure.
Well, that's, you know what? Okay, so if I was going to unpack that dream, let me just tell you this. If I unpacked it in a way like this, okay, so it has to do with church. It has to do with how you know God. It has to do with, this is a path you're going to go down. You are descending. It comes from a place of authority, the office, and your dad is there and he's silent. Okay? You would have to come to the conclusion that you did through hearing God speak and looking at all that and go, I can't rely upon my dad to rebuke this devil. I've got to man up myself, right? And you even came to that. Okay, everyday life is like that, where we look and we can actually interpret things in the spirit by looking at things and saying, if that was a dream, what would it mean?
It's so true. I think part of that is because the greater reality is the spirit realm.
Yep.
And the spirit realm, especially the closer we get to the end of the age, the kingdom kingdom of heaven is wanting to invade earth, the kingdom of darkness wants to invade earth, and the more we're getting closer to the end of the age, it's as if there's greater pressure coming into the natural from the spirit. But really, it's ultimately the spirit realm that's the parent force. And so because it's the parent force, that's why there's signs and wonders. And Troy just broke it down from the word of God, but that's why these things try to manifest right into our very existence, is because the greater reality wants to invade the lesser reality. And that's why so many people, they're attuned to it. And people don't even know why, but they look at things and they say, that means something. What is this about? You know, that's not a natural question. That's something that just is intuitively inside of everybody. And so one of the things, you know, I tell people about with dreams, Troy, is when they're having them, is what kind of dream was it and what did you see in the dream? And if you see certain symbols over and over again in a dream or a certain activity, for me, it's tornadoes, right? If I see a tornado in a dream, that means, gee, was it close to an object? Was it near an object? Did it hit it? Did it destroy it? What does the tornado mean? And if you have dreams over a period of time, you got to keep a dream journal.
You got to do it.
And then it'll build a dream language for you.
So how you steward things is actually is what determines how you upgrade. Mm, right? So if you're faithful in the little things, it'll make you powerful. It'll make you a ruler in many things. So, Darren, if you ever want to have a Cadillac, take care of your little go-kart, buddy.
What's a Cadillac?
What is this you speak of?
I was thinking about this whole thing of stewarding the dream realm and writing things down. But I think that a lot more prep needs to go into stewarding the night. And so the way I think that we really begin to steward the dream realm is we do that actively just before we go to bed.
Oh, that's smart.
And we really need to take greater authority, especially with our children. So if our children are having nightmares, night terrors, that kind of thing, and it's turning into a pattern, I mean, all children will have some bad dreams, but if you're having a pattern where a child's being almost traumatized and afraid to go to bed, this is a good opportunity for parents to understand their authority and teaching their children about their authority. And the way that you'd just do this is before you go to bed every single night, you'd carve out a prayer that would stay the same so you don't have to be creative. Yep. The enemy's a legalist. He operates according to contracts. And so you write a contractual prayer dedicating the space and the night for the Lord, for the kingdom of light, that the kingdom of darkness has no jurisdiction within this bedroom. And then we ask for the kind of dreams we want to have. And I do this with my children. Lord, give Peter, Abigail, Sophia, Victoria dreams of Jesus, dreams of heaven. And he honors that. But it's not just something that you pray occasionally or in negative, dark seasons. You pray it every single night. And what happens is it forms a jurisdiction for heaven. Mm-hmm. And the enemy can't cross those lines. We see it over and over and over again. People that have been tormented with horrible dreams, it shifts almost immediately. But sometimes, if not immediately, within 2 to 3 days, they will have cleaned up the dreamscape and God will begin speaking to them.
Okay. So look, I want to get off into this a whole lot more. I also want to get off into specific dreams we've had. If you've had any life-changing dreams, one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen happened because of a dream, and it's out there. But first, let me just tell you guys biblically that there are 20 dreams in the Bible and there are 20 visions in the Bible. Mm-hmm. There's 20 in the dream category and 20 in the vision category. Powerful. So it's 20-20.
2020. That's perfect vision, huh?
Yeah, it's a perfect vision. I mean, how crazy is that? 20 is a number that represents expectancy. And expectancy is like currency for prophetic people, right? You just rely upon the nature of God. That's what expectancy is all about. Like, I don't know how this is, no, but I know God, and I know the kind of stuff he does. And man, I'm just building it within my expectancy, right? And I think that's amazing, that 20 and 20. So I think that you're so right on. A big part of how you steward your dreaming life is that you bring expectancy that God does want to speak to me in dreams. He does want to show me something amazing. He loves to talk to me. He loves for me to be protected at night. He loves for me. Those are all expectancy issues that comes just from knowing the nature and the character of God. And then from there, you begin to go, okay, I need to be prepared. Okay, I can't take a bunch of sleeping pills. It'll totally destroy your dreaming life.
True.
Okay, I can't do this, can't do that. Hey, I need to prepare my sleep cycle and know this, that it belongs to Jesus.
Yes, that's important. Yes.
Boy, is that important. If you live to be 100 years old, you will have spent a third of your life sleeping. That's 33 point whatever. How many, what is that? 30, it's at least 33 and 4 months. It's 33 years and 4 months. Or that's craziness.
So it's out to be about 800 hours.
Nailed it.
Man.
Math. Dreaming is so important. When the new covenant is launched in the Gospel of Matthew, the first two chapters, more than 50% deal with a dream. So think about that. As we launch into the new covenant, uh-huh. God launches it with more than half of that being dream related. Yeah. Because the Bible said when you enter into this thing that God has promised, you will be as those who dreamed dreams. So you must get accustomed to the dream world.
That's so good.
Because what's possible in the dream world, you can't even begin to understand what's possible for you as a believer until you understand what's possible in the dream world. And whatever is possible in the dream world is possible for you as a believer, because with God, all things are possible.
Amen. Sometimes when we have a nightmare, we just want to kind of throw it away.
Yep.
Throw it in the garbage. The thing is that came from somewhere and it's got data attached to it. What gives it power is when you fear it, because what you fear is what will come upon you. So fear opens the door for that thing to have power. If you don't fear it, you can disarm it and then you can look at it. So if you can remove the fear from it, here's what happens. You take the playing cards from the enemy and then you look at him and then you see his hand.
So good.
And so it'll show you the fear tactics that the enemy is sending your way. And once you say, well, this is awesome, and that we know that that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The devil is the father of lies. So there is no truth in a nightmare. So you take that and you look at what the lies that he's going to be sending at you.
Yeah.
And they are the most, these are the most horrible, horrible things. And you say, oh, I see how he's going to use fear. I see how he's going to use shame. I see how he's going to use my past. I see how he's going to use the fear of the future that I would never want to have. Oh, I see what you're going to send at me. And now you know his strategy. And so it's actually pretty awesome. Once we remove fear, we can actually see the strategy of the enemy. And we can also get accountability in those areas. There's going to be an opportunity for failure or for whatever else. We can get accountability and build up our safeguards in those areas.
Mm. Okay, so there's a couple of things that I do in prepping for this, but one, I've already told you that, you know, I believe God's going to speak to me in a dream. I just do, because he always has. And I believe that he wants to. And I believe that there are certain seasons that those things are greatly highlighted, just like with demonic attacks within our dreams.
Yeah,
so I tell everybody, hey, look, we go through seasons of this.
Yeah,
you need to know that. But it's true, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, I don't know anybody that is a powerful man or woman of God that hasn't gone through seasons of big time demonic attacks within their dreams.
Sure.
It's just part of being a big boy. It's just part of it. Like, okay, well, what's wrong with me? What is this? What is that? Well, things are being exposed. Things are being exposed now, and now, you know, it was okay in the last place where you was at to be vulnerable in these areas. Now it's not.
That's right.
And you can't be vulnerable like this anymore. Like, you know, man, then you will get good, just like you said, after a while, when you start to go down a track, I can literally, not all the time, but I'm going to say 8 times out of 10, I can feel that this is going into a direction that is not the Lord. And I'll say, stop. I'm like, because I know it's a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, stop. If it's going to go into some kind of sexual area, I want to tell you, anytime that I am attacked sexually in my dream life, I know what it's about. It's not about, you know, the sexual things. It's about the shame that I'm going to have to deal with the next day.
That's good. That's
and thinking, man, I'm a grown man that loves Jesus. Why would I dream that? Like, how much more could I love my wife? How much more in covenant can I? And I'm like, whoa, that's the playground I don't need to be involved in. And I say, no. I'm holy. I walk with God. I'm in covenant with my bride. No. Well, then if you do that enough and that devil keeps showing up, you can do that in your dream. Stop. This is not going to go that direction.
Amen.
And you can literally stop your dream from going forward.
That exact thing happened to me just about a month ago. So one of the things that we've been dealing with is within the alien disclosure community, there's a real uptick in new religions and cults rising up out of that. And one of the groups is really following the ancient Egyptian goddess Hathor. And I have been taking exception to it because the person who's been doing it has been saying that Hathor first appeared as a lady and identified herself as Hathor and that she's actually the Holy Spirit. And he's getting all these people to follow along with this. So I've been taking exception to it and I've been getting more and more vocal against it.
Man.
So in my dreams, the way he describes her, I've been seeing a woman that's blonde appearing in my dreams, sometimes she's trying to seduce me. And then I was sick about a month ago and I was laying in my basement on my sofa bed. I pulled out because I don't want to get my wife sick. And in my dream, I'm literally laying there in my dream, the same position. Everything's the same exact as it really was. And there she is at the bottom of my bed. And she starts walking up alongside my bed and she just has this grin on her face. Like, you know what I'm about to do.
I got you.
And in my dream, I said, I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. And in my dream, I said it out loud. It woke me up and I opened my eyes and it literally stopped the attack right there in its spot.
That's outstanding.
I told my wife really the next day and I was like,
that's outstanding.
I think this is actually something we need to pay attention to. We've been praying against it and stuff for sure.
Oh, that's
strong, man.
I'd love to be able to have, like, you can literally start to, you know, you can literally start to have dominion in your own dream life and go, wait, stop. That's not how this dream is going to go.
Yep.
We ain't doing this. You know, and it's obvious for men to think, you know, when it comes to sexual things. But I mean, like, if it's going to go into a terror, if it's going to a fear, if it's like, whoa, stop. This dream is not going to go this route. And that's when if you actually believe that your dream life belongs to Jesus, you have some say-so in that.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the dream world and seduction, whether it's in the dream world or it's just in the natural world, has to do with the enemy's strategy to set up the record of compromise.
So good.
So that compromise is recorded, and then there is a record that's being used against you. So it's the same thing that you see with Epstein and what he was involved with at a higher level.
It's a honey trap.
And the honey trap, having the island where everything was being recorded, powerful people and their compromises being recorded so that there could be power used against it. Well, that comes from Satan. And he'll do that in our dreams. If we give into it, he'll establish a record in the dream realm in order to subvert our identity so that we'll believe a lie about who we are, so that we've been groomed first in the dream realm, so that when opportunity presents itself, when we're awake, we are open to suggestion and we're open to compromise that we wouldn't have been open to otherwise. So dreams are, for me, the Lord will give me like what I call simulator dreams. And so that's where I get to experience an anointing or a ministry environment, a level of authority that I haven't experienced yet. And I'll get to experience that in the dream. And it'll put a hunger in me to want to seek after it. So I've been able to step into a level of authority in the natural because of what I experienced in the dream. But on the opposite side of that, the enemy will use dreams to groom us. And if we don't have a standard in our dream life, it'll actually come to shift and to lower our standards from day-to-day operation.
Yeah. You know what? This is actually a really good segue for us to go over to what we like to call behind the veil, which is actually the rest of this conversation.
Yes.
And we'll do this over at odx.tv. And why do we do that?
It's uncensored because here on these platforms, we can't say everything that we want to say. So we have to edit some of it out. But when we go over to odx.tv, we can say whatever we want to say.
That's right.
And if you thought this conversation was wild, wait till you hear the uncensored version over on odx.tv because it's wild.
Let's go to odx.tv and sign up for stage 2 or sign up for stage 3. And not only will you get literally thousands of video content, including all of the counter series, but also, too, guys, you will be helping us serve and protect and raise kids and actually rescue them and see them raised in the admonition of the Lord.
Whether it's a dream, a vision, a prophetic word, for me, its only value can be found in how it points me back to the Word.
Sometimes in your dream, you think you're dreaming, but you're actually walking around in the Spirit. And you can find that out. You know, the Bible says that Peter he thought he was dreaming the whole time he was busting out of prison.
Yeah.
And he was so used to walking around in the spirit.
I had a dream one time where I was walking through the wilderness or whatever, and then I saw Jesus, and he was the moon, or he was up in the moon. He said, follow me, and all this.